45th Psalm. I'll read at least the first 14 verses, maybe the entire chapter. My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made, touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty. And in thy majesty ride prosperously, because of truth and meekness and righteousness, and thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God thy God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia, out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad. King's daughters were among the honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir. Hearken, O daughter, and consider, and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty. For he is thy Lord, and worship thou him, and the daughter of Tyre shall be there. With a gift, even the rich among the people shall entreat thy favor. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace. And I'll go ahead. Instead of thy fathers shall be thy children, whom thou mayest make princes in all the earth. I will make thy name to be remembered in all the generations. Therefore shall the people praise thee forever and ever. And I think in the beginning, you might say, well, how does this speak of the bride? We have the fourfold description of the king at the heading of this. And it, as we think of the bride making herself ready, we see the person that she will wed. And we are made aware of she will be like him, for she will see him as he is. Paul tells us that. And so as we think of making ourselves ready, we must recognize that we must be worthy, in one sense of the word, to be his bride. He will marry a full-grown woman. He won't marry a babe. He won't marry someone that is carnal. You see, the queen, or the bride, we'll say, of the Son of God, the heavenly bridegroom, will rule and reign. And so, in order to rule and reign, she must be like him. And she must reign with him. He can't bring a lewd or an evil or a half-grown person to the throne with him. He must bring them all. And I will point you to the 10th verse of the 46th chapter, which says, "Be still and know that I am God. And if you will give me a little sanctified imagination, and I am permitted to know the will of God and say only as we learn to be still that we find the quietness of mind and the peace of consciousness of which our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ will be noble and fruitful. It is when we know God that we can move quietly and positively in that path he has ordained that we should walk in. And precious hearts, we have emphasized so much recently, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And I want to point out, I had just got up from my knees as I'd gotten out of bed and began to dress. And I usually sit on the edge of the bed or sit on a little bench at the foot of the bed and dress. But this morning I was seemingly occupied otherwise. And as I got my shorts, I stood up next to the clothes closet, and I put my right foot in the right leg of the shorts. And when I started to put my left foot in, my toe kept caught on the band, and bang, I hit the floor. And now you say, well, are you sure he kept you? Yes, I am. And that didn't turn me away or make me think the Lord had failed to take me down through whatever. So first of all, I want you to see and learn that he, the man, he is the man. Now, in our first two verses, we see Jesus Christ as the man. I think we failed to fully grasp the significance of him becoming a man. You see, he entirely, absolutely, altogether, completely lived his life for 33 plus years in this world as a man. He didn't live as God, though he said God was his father, and so on. And yet not one time did he yield and do the miracles that he did through his own ability as God. He said, "I do always those things of my Father." You see, precious hearts, Jesus became a man in every detail other than he had no sin. And yet at the same time, God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And if he had like he was hungered, and the devil says, "Cause these stones to be made bread." If such a slight thing, such a thing as apparently only the devil and he would know, he would have ceased to be able to be your and my Savior. He must be my Savior as a man. He must not yield himself to the God nature in any way. And his righteousness was God's righteousness. His strength was God's strength. He did what he did, and I'll get ahead of it just a little. You'll know the description, grace is poured into thy lips. That is such an abundant and wonderful statement made by the psalmist here. You see, grace, great grace that you and I have never begun to really understand fully. The Apostle Paul, you remember, as he was seeking God to remove that thorn from his flesh, and God didn't answer until he continued. Three times he sought him. And then God said, "Now, Paul, I've made such revelations to you that you would become exalted. But these revelations I made to you was that you become a man. Do you realize that at the age of 12, he began to realize who he was? He didn't realize who he was. That's how completely he cut himself away from deity. Now, he was God with us, but he must absolutely live those 33 years, tempted and tried in all points as we sin apart. And so, precious hearts, this is one of the things we need to understand, because it is as a man, that he dies for whosoever will may take of the waters of life freely. That's an awesome thing to me. It thrills me to the very depths of my soul to know. You see, you say, well, he could have done anything. He could have done nothing and remained my Savior apart from the will and the ability of God to move and empower him. So first we learn that he was the man of the new creation. He didn't live his life as another man, not just any man, the man. The Bible tells us, fairer than the children of men. He stood out. He wasn't just a man. He was a new man. And we all are the children of Adam. But he is the God-man. Luke calls him the Son of Man 25 times. And Matthew, there you remember when they were out on the sea and the waves were rolling up like they would swallow him. And they waked him up, and he looked at them and he said, "Peace, be still." He quieted the winds and the sea, and they said, in Matthew 6 we read, and they said, "What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the seas obey him?" You see, he was a new man. Adam was the old man. and Adam steps in with his sin, and most of us never quite fully understand and take our place as new creatures in Christ. And so grace is poured into his lips. Great grace. The Song of Solomon makes it like this: thy mouth is most sweet. Nothing but the truth came out of that mouth. And it was great grace. Now, you see, precious hearts, if you can grasp it, if somehow my words can reach you, you can be this, not him. There's only one only begotten of the Father. But you, due to the scriptures telling us what you are and what you have had happen in your life, you are now the sons of God. I don't think I can reach you. And I know I can, but you're going to have to allow that great grace to come in to and possess your life. You're going to have to take your place in that new creation company. In the heavens, you will note that there will be a sparingly few that ever fully enter into that. And so the Song of Solomon says his mouth is most sweet. You think of the world's great and famous men. To all were conquered by sin. Moses was conquered by sin. Abraham was conquered by sin. All the great warriors, all the famous intellectuals, all of Adam's race were covered and conquered by sin. But here was the one man that conquered sin. God made him to be sin for we, you, that we might become the righteousness of God which is in him. What a simple step, yet a step the vast majority of God's precious people never take. No. And so, for that reason, we have, first of all, this bridegroom is a true human man. Next, in Ephesians 1:19 through 23, we have the resurrection morning. And here he is, the mighty warrior, the mightiest warrior that ever lived. He takes all of Satan's tools and leaves them ruined, of no effect. Here you are. Each of us, we were conceived in sin and shapen in iniquity. No one had to try to teach us to lie and to steal or whatever might come. You didn't have to teach some of these men that commit these horrible, ravishing crimes where they'll take a little girl and ravish her body and abuse it in every way and throw it out on the trash heap. You don't have to teach this man that killed his wife over here in Salt Lake and lied and lied. You didn't have to teach him that. No. You see, that was the seed that was produced in his life to fruitfulness. And that's what happened. Precious hearts. But there was only one person that could take us up from the dust and up from the dunghill and make us fit to sit on that glory throne with him and rule and reign forever. And so we have the man and we have the warrior. Paul tells us, and I've emphasized it to you a great deal lately in the first chapter of the book of Ephesians, how you might know the hope of your calling, how you might know the inheritance God has in the saints, and how you might know what the exceeding greatness of his power is to usward who believe. And that power, the measure is according to the power which he manifests when he raised Christ from the dead. You sit there, you precious young people, you don't have to go through what I went through. Thank God you don't. You can take a hold of God. I was talking long distance with someone today, and I said, we were talking about a certain individual, and I said, at the age 20, God lifted me. He took me away from the dust. He took me away from the dunghill. He made me what I am. And with the Apostle Paul, I say, I am what I am by the grace of God. And so we have this warrior. This fact is almost unknown and unnoticed even by God's own people. But his arrows are sharp in the hearts of his enemies. And with him, we too can conquer every foe. Next, in verses 6 through 8, we have him as the king. And here we see the throne and scepter of glory. And he's exalted to the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and will rule as God for 1,000 years, the millennium, as God. And then he will give the kingdom up to God, and he himself will be subject unto God and Christ, and those that qualify will be the rulers of the eternities to come in the fullness of his reign. There are going to be those that will sit on the throne with him, and throughout the ages he will show forth the exceeding riches of his grace through usward which believe. You think of that. Oh my. We give such a half-hearted, or far less than a half-hearted, most of us, to what we can be. But that day is going to arrive, God helping us, when every one of you that will give your best to God now, what do you think it will be like to be singled out and put at the head of the table with him? I sometimes think about it. How can I grasp such grace, such mercy, such a thought that that person here who once was so rebellious, such a, sore on the surface of creation. How can it be that I can enter that day with my head high. Blessed of God, like eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither entered into the hearts of men. And so in the King we see the throne and the scepter of glory. And he's exalted to the thought of King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he will rule as God through that millennium. And the harmony, in harmony with God, as he shows forth the exceeding riches of his grace throughout eternity. And a people who are picked from the dust and from the dunghill will rule on his throne of glory forever. Verse 8 speaks of his garments, which represent his habits, his ways of life. And they all are speak of the manner of life. And the ninth verse, the bridegroom, and it says now, hearken. As we get to the bride, he calls to her, hearken. That is, hear intelligently. Don't be like little Charlotte in her listening or hearing her mother. Hearken and consider. That is, see yourself and discern who you are. And take heed to who you were without him. Without him, you were hellbound. You were worthy of the lake of fire. But with him, in him, as him, you are worthy of the absolute sanction of God. And how wonderful it is. So consider, see yourself and discern and take heed who you are without him and then who you are with him. Incline thine ear, that is, bow down, be humble. You say, oh, well, if I'm all those things, I can't be humble. Yes, you can, because you're all those things by his grace. And he came and he humbled himself to the death of the cross, not just any sort of a death, the death of shame. He was stripped naked. He was made sin. He suffered the fires of the lake of fire. So that is, you must bow down. You must be humble. And as we take our place in the new creation, and so few ever do, but you can, and you ought to. God help us to take our place in this new creation. In the 11th verse, this word, if you'll notice, Lord, is the same word that's translated husband. And so you will see in that 11th verse that she says, so shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy lord or thy husband, and worship thou him. And so we come to the 13th verse. Her clothing, now we're speaking of the bride now, her clothing is of wrought gold. You see, this is a garment of a cloth that is woven out of gold. Gold shows that divine life and the splendor and the wealth that she has come. You may sit here without a penny to your name, but if you will simply let faith, which without you can't please God, but which with comes by every promise you believe. You think of godly and good men that lead people to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet those lovely and good men turn around and rob you by telling you the Holy Spirit is not for today. It passed out. And we see the different things that men can be by the Word of God. They'll say, oh no, that's not for today. That was for them back there. He has physicians now to take the place. No, precious hearts, no one can ever take the place in your life for Jesus, but Jesus and you. You have to do it. Whithersoever the sole of thy foot shall tread, that have I given thee. Because in the first chapter of the book of Ephesians, verse 4, he hath blessed you with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. I look out on you and my heart goes out to you. Not because you can't, but because you won't. You see, you can make all the excuses that you want to make, but there absolutely is not one thing, one person, one group of persons, one event in life that can keep you from God's best but your own unbelief. So believe God. And so the clothing is of wrought gold. This is a garment of a gold cloth. And we have the warp, W-A-R-P. That's the thread that runs lengthwise. And that's how do you walk. How do you walk? And the woof is the up and down. What is your state? You see, precious hearts, Paul concerned with the saints. He was concerned about their state. I want to know, what is your state? I want to know how you're living. I know you're called to the best. Up and down, it's the truth. That's what you are in the plan of God. But now, are you bringing your state up to your standing? You are acceptable in God. You are given a throne of grace that you are bid to come boldly to in the time of need. And he said, call unto me, I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. So what a marvel. What a marvel, the Creator becoming a man. And what a marvel, as a man, he fights the battle for you and for me. And today he sits on the throne at his Father's right hand for you and for me to see that we get by, to see that we conquer, to see that we overcome. He's a man God wants to make me a queen for, and you a queen for. And only faith can make me and you his bride. And so, hearken, hearken, listen to me, listen to me. Consider and forget. Oh, precious hearts, it's so hard to forget we belong to Adam. But you see, we don't. When Christ died on that cross, and when I believed on him, I no longer belonged to that cursed race. I no longer was a part of that enemy of God's. Is that true of you? Have you taken your place in the new creation? Have you laid a hold of your rights, the promises in Him, yea, and amen? They're not yea and nay, or maybe. They are yea and amen. Make it final. And so, what a marvel, the Creator became a man. And so the King shall greatly desire thy beauty. These are verses 13 and on to the end of the chapter. And so hearken and consider and incline and forget, so shall the King desire thy beauty. Note Hebrews 12:2. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. Don't expect it to be easy at times. Don't expect to escape pain. Don't expect the thing to be a lotus land of ease. Precious hearts, that's what the pulpits usually today are trying to get you to lay hold of. Prosper, be in health, be rich, be what's the matter. I think of Shirley and Ray. Shirley and Ray. The things they went through in that mega church. And then, after they'd lost all their money, but I know him. I know he had to be a very generous giver. He's one of the most generous givers I've ever known. And in those days, no telling how much he gave to that Crossroad Church. But then, when God, in his wisdom, sent him down that path, broke, his only little girl died, losing his property, losing his business, losing everything. When that time came, the people that were supposed to be teaching him wondered what awful thing they had done, that God would judge them like that. Precious hearts, don't count it strange. I'll tell you, don't count it strange. And I quote Peter concerning the fiery trial which may try you. Nothing is out of order unless it's your seeking God and believing that he is able to complete that good work which he hath begun in you. And so verse 12 through 17, we see the Queen is standing at the King's side with the true royalty of this universe of the eternities to come. Her attendants are kings, daughters, and queens, and her attendants are bridesmaids. In Ephesians 3:10, at this time, his masterpiece will have been made complete, and we will be there with him to shew forth that masterpiece. It's you and I that can be that masterpiece that will seek his will now, and it will be done. And in the ages to come, you'll be his masterpiece. The suns, the moons, the stellar spaces, the brightness. Oh, what there must be. You see, he can do anything. What there must be in the decorations of this universe. But he'll point, God help it, it'll be you people. He'll point to you and say, this is my masterpiece. Of all there is, this is my love. This is my companion. This is the one that I'll joyfully go down through the corridors of eternity with her at my side. Lord bless you. We'll stand and believe God to have his way. He wants to bless you.